wine and food experience. And I'm responsible for bringing in the vendors, the local chefs, the restaurants, the caterers, you name it, who are going to be providing the wonderful bites for our attendees, and as well as the chefs who will be competing.
Yeah.
Both the bakers and the master chef.
All right, cool. Well, so you got your hands full. You had a lot to do. So you and Irie are you know, tag teaming it.
Yes, I have my hands full. So I called up Irie. We're really, really, really great friends. We work together a lot, and we have a really great synergy.
Yeah.
So I called him up to not only moderate the MasterChef competition, but also to bring that surprise element to the stage. And when we were together, we just started talking about the Miami Gardens Wine and Food Experience and the opportunities that it's presenting to our communities. And you can elaborate more on that, Irie.
Oh, most definitely. We have a lot of chefs in our community, but we have a lot of black chefs in our community.
Right, that don't get any love.
That don't get the love, and I think this is a great opportunity, the experience of Miami Gardens Food and Wine Experience, for chefs to showcase, not just the vendors, but the chefs that are going to be on stage as well, to showcase their culinary talents and to show the people of Miami Gardens and outside of Miami Gardens that food is a really great thing to be a part of.
Yeah.
You know, so the culinary experience is going to be awesome.
Yeah, and it's so much the like root of our community. I mean, that's how we, you know, kind of share love with each other.
Of course. Break bread.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's breaking bread. Well, guys, thank you so much for coming and staying around. And I will see you Saturday. Everybody will see you guys on Saturday. I'm hoping my guests over here will come on Saturday. Okay, so now, listen, we are, the barbershop is full. On this side, Senators Brannon and Dwight Bullard. Broadway from the Broadway Arts District is here, and he's brought family. And I have my representatives from the Green Party. We actually were on a panel together. I moderated a panel that you sat on, that one of my guests sat on. So I'm going to let you guys introduce yourselves, starting to my right.
All right. Hello, my name is Elijah Manley. I'm a high school student. I'm 17, and I attend Fort Lauderdale High School. I was a candidate in the Green Party's presidential primary.
Awesome.
I'm a resident of Fort Lauderdale, and I live off of Sistrunk Boulevard.
All right. And I got you up past your bedtime.
It's
like,
fun.
For real, for real. Okay, and Sylvie?
Hi, I'm Sylvie Turi, and I'm the Broward Green Party co-chair. I've been involved with the Greens for about 4 years, actively organizing at the grassroots level.
The Greens, I like that. Okay, and
I'm Denny Ortiz, spokesperson for the Green Party of Florida, a member of the Dream Defenders, and a founding member of the Black Lives Matter Alliance of Broward. I'm an economic justice activist and advocate. You could even call me a revolutionary, and that's why we're here with the Green Party.
That's maybe where I met you first, where I saw you first. Were you at the Trayvon Martin dinner a year ago? It was 2 years ago now. I don't know. Anyway, don't let me put you on the spot. Okay, so I want my senators to come in on this one, because a lot of people have said that that the Green Party, the independent parties, are outliers, and that if a vote for, and I think the president said it on Friday, that a vote for a Green Party candidate or an independent candidate would be a vote for Trump. So how do you all view the place that the Green Party stands in?
Well, I would say, you know, for me, the most important thing that the Green Party, Libertarian, is they bring a new dynamic to the discussion, right? Mm-hmm. Because for me, one of the most important things about our political process are the ideas that come out of because of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if you talk about Bernie Sanders, right?
Right.
You know, Bernie Sanders is not going to become our president, but the issues that he talked about, economic, social justice, all those things are things that are still being brought up today. So, you know, I see right now the way things are currently set is one of the biggest things they bring about are a discussion points that we definitely need to take a look at.
Yeah.
I mean, my take on it is that they're necessary, right? I mean, everyone has the right to vote and exercise their importance. I think a lot of people get caught up in the historical discussion about third parties and where they show up. But you got to think the GOP didn't exist until 1854, right? So the current GOP that we have,
right,
the current Democratic Party, then, you know, was technically a third party. You know what I mean? So it's like, over time, they manifest themselves into much, much bigger entities based on the kind of steps they take towards political dominance. And I think in this particular space, the Green Libertarian parties have a distinct place, because people are now looking at the initial two parties and saying they've morphed into something different than what they used to be.
Right. And you have one of those parties just, you know, eating itself alive. So right, so right. When you all hear that argument, when you hear that conversation, where do you think the Green Party comes in terms of, and do you think that this election is going to signal the end of a two-party system?
Who yes, wants definitely. To start? Yeah. I think the Green Party will pick up where the Democratic Party left off at. Particularly in terms of climate change, the economy, education, things that are being neglected by the political system today. I think this goes beyond November 8th, and I believe that after November 8th, the two-party system as we know it will be destroyed.
So, right, so are you all ready to, like, be organized? Because I think, I'm not exactly sure who I was talking to about it, but, at the time, the person was selling me on the idea of the Green Party. I was like, I get it. I feel you completely. However, we know that a Green Party candidate will not win this election. This was like a week ago. So I'm like, so then how do you use what happened this year to, on November 9th, hit the ground running it to a place that, you know, the next election, you know, you have greater ground?
Well, our goal as the Green Party in this election is not so much winning, because we recognize that possibility is very remote.
Right.
Our goal is to get the 5% of the popular vote. So what does that give us? That gives us down ballot access throughout the country. That gives us public funding. That gives us the possibility of getting into the debates. So it completely changes the quality of the Green Party and of politics in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the fact that we are talking about the Green Party gives testament to the importance of the presidential politics. And once 2018 comes by, we want to have a full slate of congressional candidates. But that's all going to start with the 5% and with the participation of your listeners, which we depend on.
Right. And why do you think that a majority of millennials are attracted to green independent, you know, parties?
Well, they spend their childhood with Clinton and they spend their teenage years with Bush. They got a taste of both and they didn't like it. They didn't like the Iraq War, but they also didn't like the welfare reform of the 1996 or the crime bill of 1994. So they lived the consequences of both parties and they found both to be wanting.
I have a question.
Oscar, mm-hmm.
So they've lived 8 years with President Obama, and where are they on that? Where would you say that millennials are on that?
Well, I think that the Bernie Sanders candidacy shows you where millennials are at on that, because Obama supported Clinton from the start. He's been with Senator Clinton working together for the last 8 years in different manners, in different ways. Millennials know that.
Mm-hmm.
So when they look at Hillary, they recognize the continuation of the status quo. When they looked at Bernie Sanders, they thought, okay, this is an alternative.
But, you know, okay, so would you say that that most of your members in your party don't think that Obama was an effective president?
Well, he was effective in a lot of ways. But at the end of the day, to get the agenda that the millennials need, whether it's real climate action, whether it's free tuition for colleges, whether it's ending the wars for real, you have to have the Green Party.
And I was going to say, I think when all of the presidents and all of the politicians say that they're about change, it comes down to socioeconomics. What have they actually done for the past 8 years that have positively changed the socioeconomic conditions of the working class?
Well, let me turn that over here.
So I would say that it is extremely easy to say change and to say this is what you should do. But remember, this is a three-pronged system in our government, and that's just the way the Constitution was written.
Mm-hmm.
So President Barack Obama could not change these things by himself. Now, President Barack Obama tried as hard as possible to get us that free tuition. It is something that the Congress and that the Republican Party would like to see not happen.
Mm-hmm.
We as, to be clear, we are Democrats over here. Same as plug, we are Democrats. I'm the Democratic leader. He is the chairman of the Democratic Party in Miami-Dade County. So we may seem somewhat biased, but, the things that we talk about, that we hear talk about, climate change, free tuition, these are all things that we support. And we are, and yet I hear Independent Party, Green Party, Libertarians saying, well, you didn't do it. Well, right. It was not us that didn't do it. It was the fact that government is run by three different prongs. The legislature, which is the Congress in the federal level, is run by was run by Speaker Ryan and Boehner, and those guys want the opposite of that. So I'm with you. We're not fighting on that, right?
Well,
I don't think we or the Democratic Party are fighting you on that. I think there is a common enemy, and that's the person who we may need to point our fingers and our tentacles at and say that is the root of the problem, well, in my opinion.
Well, the Democratic Party has had the House of Representatives under Nancy Pelosi from 2007 until 2010 and the U.S. Senate up until 2014. So when we're talking about change, and we had all of this time to do those things, I think voters should know that that's something the Democratic Party and the Republican Party has not done, because they're two sides of the same coins.
Well, I mean, just to piggyback off of sort of those comments, we understand that, unfortunately, government is never a sprint. It's always going to be a marathon, right? So you think about slavery, for instance. There were 15 presidents to kick that can down the road until it got to Lincoln's desk. That's mm-hmm. a lot of time before you deal with something that is a scourge on society. So climate change is nothing that you can automatically move on overnight. We know that. But I would say in support of kind of the initiatives that the Green Party or any other parties put forward, I think that constant sort of push to change the dimensions of the two-party system has been one of the major successes, I think, of the Green Party. When you think about what their platform looked like in maybe 2000,
right,
many of those things have been adopted and pushed. You know, as we talk about health care reform, that was very much a Nader-driven concept.
Right. Yeah.
We know single payers, something we would ultimately love to get to, but, I mean, of course, there's steps in the process. So I would say that for my brothers and sisters in the Green Party or any other party, part of the success of a third-party movement is moving things further down the field. But I think, more importantly, if we're talking about really staking the claim, and I know Didier mentioned this, and my question to you all is there going to be some down-ticket runs by the Green Party or by other parties to maybe occupy some significant space on city councils or state houses or Congress people? Because I think oftentimes we hear about the Green Party only during presidential years.
Mm. That's right. Look, as Dwight was saying, you know, it took a third-party candidate, right, a third-party president to actually sign the end of slavery, to go towards that. Obviously, mm-hmm. we have to look at the context of the Civil War. Obviously, we have to look at the fact that President Lincoln took a lot of extra legal steps towards securing the victory of the Union. However, again, as Elijah has made the point already, you have a Democrat Congress, right? House and Senate. You have your Democratic president. You have a mandate. You have a landslide victory. You have everything that you could ask for to change things in government, and that didn't happen. Now, is there going to be congressional candidates? Yes, right now we have Margaret Flowers running for the Senate in Maryland. A local race right now is in the Mosquito Control Board of Key West. Oliver Kofoid is running. So, Oliver Kofoid, vote for him, please, on Tuesday. Yeah. Because he's actually very passionate about the issues of Zika, the issues of mosquito infections. Now, why do we want the 5%? So that we have a better ability at getting down ballot access throughout the country to get these congressional candidates.
Yeah. Phil on line one. Hi, welcome to Hot Talk.
Good evening.
Hey, Phil.
Ellen, I could also say good evening to your guest. The question that I have is pertaining to the power. And what I mean by that is, I understand that the Democratic Party can't be all things to all black folks, just like the Republican Party can't be all things to all black folks. But when I start looking at the amount of us that are already involved, and I start thinking about splitting the little power that we already have, is the division worth the effort, if you understand what I'm trying to say here?
Yeah.
I mean, the Green Party is, yes, you're entitled to your views, you're entitled to be heard, you're entitled to be seen, but we seem like we're breaking up our little consolidation of power, what little power that we have.
Phil, I'm sorry, Phil, we like turn the mics off so everybody can hear what you're saying. But so what I feel like you're saying is that, yeah, you sort of like where we started, are you just splitting the hair too thinly? Because there is a lot of consensus between Green Party and Democratic Party. So, like, basically, why aren't they together?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You put that exactly the way I was trying to put it.
Thanks, Phil. So you want to?
Because we want to have politicians in office that are actually going to get the agenda passed. Because really, when you're looking at Democratic Party, you're looking at a network of fundraisers with a brand. That's all you're looking at. You're not looking at a member-driven, policy-oriented party. That's the truth of the matter. You can have anyone be a Democrat and run for office.
Oh, did he just say you can have anybody be a Democrat and run for office?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, the reality is this, right? Institutions morph over time. And like any other institution, Democratic Party has its myriad of problems. But the reality is that would happen to any party over a number of years. I mean, this notion of political purity, when you run into a system like the one that exists in Washington, D.C., where you have 34 lobbyists for every member of Congress, where you have, you know, multi-billion dollar systems in place, that are, you know, whether it's big pharma or this, that, or that, and the other, those are some of the things that you have to sort of deal with. So this notion of someone going there and sort of being blind to the universe that exists and being able to push an agenda through without the work of compromise, without the process, unfortunate process of sausage making that people often find very troubling, but is how we've gotten kind of the major pushes, whether it be Social Security, Medicare, end of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, healthcare reform, et cetera,
right.
All happens because people kind of move things along in a very sort of real and robust way.
I'm sorry. I find a lot that people who are, first of all, everybody talks about politicians, but yeah, they're the very people who want to be politicians. So, you know, if you are two steps from the devil, why is it that everybody wants to be in politics? It's not because, you know what I'm saying? Because it's not a money grab, because there's really no money. I mean, you know, your basic salaries are just, it's not even palatable for what you...
People who make money in this are usually on their way to jail.
Right, period. So what is it? What is the appeal, and why does everybody outside of it think that they can do it better than you?
Because it's the notion of altruism. I think for someone who's a purist,
and I'm gonna ask you,
they want to make a change. They want to make an actual difference. Uh-huh. It's not until you find yourself engulfed in the tsunami that is politics, and you're there and you're trying to figure out, you know, where should I stand, or what issue, or what am I passionate about, and see your plate get fuller and fuller each and every day. I mean, you got to think about this. For a progressive like myself, you know, talking about climate change, we're talking about social justice, we're talking about all those things in that universe. Now you have to kind of get consensus around trying to move something.
Because you can't do it alone, right?
You can't do it alone, exactly.
Just Sylvia, Phil, I'm sorry, I just let you hold it there. Thanks, you can hold on if you want to, but thanks for calling.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right, babe. Later, Sylvia.
I just wanted to address something. You know, when we talk about Democrats and Republicans in this two-party system, we're really just addressing, you know, very, you know, not a majority of people in this country. There's 324 million Americans, and 60-70% of them are totally disenfranchised. They're so disappointed in that duopoly that they don't even vote. You know, these are people out there in the fringes, and we don't really address them. So we're really letting a very small percentage of people or these two parties make all of the policies in this country. We really have to start thinking about a people's movement that takes what the people want into consideration. And that's what the Green Party does, and that's what we really bring to the table. We do not, and you know, we stand by our principles on this. We do not take corporate money, and that is because we don't want the strings attached that comes with corporate money. That really sets us apart from every other political party, and it's very important to keep that in mind. When people want to scapegoat us and say that we are the spoilers in every election, right. We're talking about 5% of the vote here that is hard-earned. Our ballot access is hard-earned,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So to scapegoat and blame us for Trump becoming president is ridiculous. The numbers don't add up.
I think the notion of the... of the money in politics is an interesting one. And I say that because, you know, we say that I hear even in this current election cycle, we hear people saying, well, you took money from FNL, you took money from Big Sugar, so you must be beholden to them.
Right, right.
And, you know, my response to that is I am actually beholden to the voters, and I don't really care who gives me money. They give money because they choose to, not because there's something connected to it. And so I don't not take money from somebody, because if you don't take money from any one person, that means the one person that did give it to you, you only took it because you're going to do what they ask. So I think the inverse is true. So for me, nobody who gives me money controls, and for what I think most politicians, you should be beholden to the people that elected you to get there and not the money that comes in. So whether you do or don't take it, I think it should be one or the other. You either take it all or you don't take anything at all.
Right.
And then because, you know, it shouldn't be what makes you make your decision.
I would
jump in to say, you know, we're sort of talking this notion of a utopian world in which you have one party or a set of ideals that's in control of things. I would say for 2007 through 2010, or actually 09 through 10, when you had a complete dominance of Democratic control, when you think about what got passed, like I said, you know, marriage equality, lack of discrimination in military, mm-hmm. healthcare reform, pay equity, all these things were things that were able to get done, but come at a cost, because when the next election cycle rolls around, is where you get where you are.
Right.
So I would caution anyone to say, again, it's great to have ideas and it's great to do the work while you're there to sort of set the agenda, but the unfortunately laws get changed.
Well, here's the thing. Right now, the drone attacks in Syria is still going. The wars in the Middle East are still going. We still have not banned fracking. We still have not dealt with the climate issue that we're having in Miami right now. The clock is ticking. Miami may be underwater in 15 years. These are issues that right now we have a Democratic president who has not addressed these issues.
Well,
so these are issues that the Democratic Party should have been talking about, and they've failed to talk about these issues for the last decade.
Well, I think these are some issues that come November 9th, I will have you back and we will talk about, because I think that, you know, we have to look at, I think we're saying a lot of the same things, and I think that a lot of those things need to be addressed at the beginning of a cycle, you know, as opposed to, I wanted to have you guys in because I met everyone at the event that I did, and I think that there's some really important things that need to be said. So I'm glad that you came. I thank you so much. I honor your service. So and I look forward to having the conversation about what we're going to do, you know, on November 9th, as November 9th approaches us. So thanks so much for coming in, and we'll be back on the other side. Broadway and the Broadway Arts District, we'll talk about that. And he has been getting souls to the polls all day, too. We'll talk about that and some more. Stay tuned. I am Jill Tracy, and this is Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Hot Talk will be right back on Hot 105. At Hot 105, we love it when you listen to Win Your Miami Funk Fest ticket. 2 days of 90s R&B icons singing your favorite songs from TLC, Jodeci, Belle, Guy featuring Teddy Riley, True Hill, SWV, H-Town, Mystical, and the 305 Trick Daddy. And it's all hosted by Uncle Lou. December 9th and 10th at the Miramar Regional Park. Hot 105 has the most free tickets. We're giving you 8 pairs a day, 7 days a week, nonstop until December 9th. Lock all of your radios to 105.1 and listen to win your free tickets. The Miami Funk Fest, brought to you by Variety Entertainment and Today's R&B and Old School. Hot 105. For more, go to hot105fm.com or download our free app in your app store for more chances to win. If you're not facing your mortgage issues, this can be the most terrifying sound in the world. It means you've fallen behind. It means hope is dwindling. It means you're another call closer to losing your home to foreclosure. Fortunately, there's hope. If you need real help and guidance, call 1-888-995-HOPE. That's 1-888-995-4673. Because nothing is worse than doing nothing. A public service announcement brought to you by NeighborWorks, the ad council, and this station.
In America today, 1 in 4 women and 1 in 7 men suffer physical violence at the hands of a loved one. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but Florida's court clerks provide assistance to domestic violence victims year-round. They understand the importance of confidentiality and discretion. Don't stay silent. Take action. Visit myfloridaclerks.com to learn how to contact your local court clerk and put a stop to domestic violence.
Everyone deserves access to eye care. Unfortunately, some cannot afford comprehensive eye exams that detect and prevent eye disease that can lead to vision loss. The Florida Optometry Eye Health Fund is here to help. The fund promotes access to comprehensive eye care to help the less fortunate reach their full potential. If you know a child in need, urge them to contact Miami Lighthouse. Help them see a clearer future.
Ma, ma.
My precious baby is talking.
And there's a word I want to talk to you about, beginning with your driving.
My baby is talking in complete sentences?
You waste so much gas with your left foot and your jet weapon starts. I could toss my cookies.
My little boy is backseat driving.
And he's up on the highway, too. Every 10 miles, over 60 miles per hour is like paying 40 cents more a gallon. That's like about 400 balloons for me.
You can count to 400?
401. And your tires? If you keep them properly inflated, you could save even more.
Oh, wait till I tell Daddy.
Dad? He's costing us big time, too, with all that junk in his trunk. How's he gonna pay for my college, my braces, my tattoo?
Don't cry. I'll drive smarter.
That's not the problem. I got junk in my trunk.
Get hundreds of dollars worth of money-saving gas tips and help the environment at the Alliance to Save Energy's website, drivesmarterchallenge.org.
Can that announcer do change me, please?
Tom Joyner in the morning, the Tom Joyner Morning Show, and everybody knows it's on 105.1.
Good morning.
What's up, brother?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm still going off on that ship you had with your cruise.
Man, we are sold out.
That was a crazy cruise, man.
Tony did so much, he didn't get a chance to perform.
I know, right?
I was doing, man. I was cooking and everything. I had a seminar.
You were with the chefs?
I seen people sitting up on the deck in the chair just knocked out with a fork in their hand, just trying to hang in.
And we're back Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m. with the best music information and what's happening in our community.
To join Hot Talk, call 888-550-9105. And now, back to Hot Talk.
Keep it going. Clap your hands, everybody. Let's do it. You ready? Come on.
Cause he ain't no different from you and she.
matter to us. Call Hot Talk at 888-550-9105.
Yes, indeed. We are back on Hot Talk at 855-09-105. Feel free to call us. It is 48 hours and counting, people. Are you kind of glad, though, it's over, Oscar Brainin?
I'm excited for these wins we gonna get on Tuesday.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about.
I mean, we gonna come in District 40, right? Bam, bam, there it is.
Bam.
We gonna win that one. You know, I believe that, you know, we're in for a really big surprise down ballot as well. Right?
I think so too.
Like I feel very confident that we are showing up and showing out. Let me tell you, give you a quick stat.
Mm-hmm.
750,000 people have early voted in Miami-Dade County. That is 100,000 more people than we had vote in total in 2012. So that means on Election Day. We already 100,000 votes in front of where we were at the end of 2012. So we are showing up. I feel very good about the results. I think we can do even more. Actually, mm-hmm. I think we can blow the doors off of this thing and drag some candidates that some people are like, man, you know, I like them, but I don't really know if they're going to win, you know, because, you know, they don't usually, it's an incumbent or something that they're running against. I believe that we're going to see some surprises, some shock and awe on Wednesday.
I think so, too.
That's just me.
Now, do you think that that Hillary Clinton now has a little more wind under her sails because this whole FBI investigation foolishness is over?
Foolishness.
Yeah.
Foolishness.
Right.
Foolishness. You know, I heard somebody say this the other day about the emails versus the 90 million scandals that Trump has, right? They said that Hillary Clinton is like the president of the chess club, right? And she happens every now and then cheating chess, right?
Right.
Donald Trump is like the kid in school that burned the school down and then blamed it on the chess club, right?
There you go.
It's like
that's,
oh my God,
that's a great analogy.
Right? So who you going to pick?
Right. That's a pretty good analogy. And I think that the idea that, and I want to put this on the table and ask you guys what you think, because we've had several conversations about it, that the fact that it's even close is a real problem, and shows that we've got a really big problem in America. We had a Trump supporter, I was about to say a Trump survivor. We had a Trump supporter on the show. And, you know, before he opened his mouth about Trump, I said, dude, you know, we go out and have drinks, hang out with. But once he started, you know, spewing the Trumpism, the one thing I hear from it that I think is resonating with the people who are jumping on that train is that there are those people who believe that money will change everything. So as long as there's enough money, and they seem to think, they don't see through the smoke and mirrors that Trump really does not have that money.
Right.
That leverage buyout that I talked about at the beginning of the show. Mm. Okay, well, that's what he did. That's, you know, okay, I can't get into that.
Well, yeah,
right
I mean,
now. But.
Well, taking a step further, I think with the last set of guests that were on the show, I think part of the frustration of that 70% that they referred to kind of carries over. So you have a lot of folks out there that are just dissatisfied with the quote-unquote status quo as they see it, or the establishment, or whatever sort of term they want to use. And so what ends up happening with the Donald Trump is he is so far outside the establishment that he ends up netting votes from people who would be more reasonably minded and be able to sort of be swayed into for anyone normal.
The fact that he was able to sell himself as the billionaire redneck or the billionaire blue collar billionaire.
You got to think he's been doing that his entire life,
right? But he's never been out. That I don't know how we were able to sell the outsider, because he's never been an outsider. He's always been in the center of politics, lining pockets, you know. And I just, it's amazing. And part of it, though, I think I'm not alone when I think that part of it is because there's a strain of racism that is so deep in this country that they will believe he is the Easter Bunny.
Well, when you say that, it's definitely out there. I think when you think about the narrative that's sort of been set over the last 8 years, right? So you have your first black president elected. You have a growing Latino population and people referring to them as sort of
the browning of the country,
next mm-hmm. sort of thing. And people are talking about this 2025 date or 2050 is going to be the year. So you have this sort of...
Oh, 2050 is going to be
the... Yeah, you have this desperation in a lot of folks' eyes of saying, well, how do we get, quote-unquote, our country back to where... You know, we're the dominant force again, and the color scheme will remain the same, and that narrative will be the case. And it's sad to see, but to your point, I mean, I don't think it's necessarily hidden racism. I think it's one that they thought, okay, we'll let them get one black president, just keep going right back to where we go. And now it's like, wait a second, now you want a woman, and then you probably want a Latino, and then oh no, we're concerned. And the reality is that people have to sort of see through the BS.
Because it kind of sounds like, when you listen to those Trump rallies, it kind of sounds like, you know, when they used to burn witches in Winston-Salem. I mean, it's just like this mob mentality. It feels like they're going to try and kill Frankenstein. I mean, it just, I'm a little afraid for November the 9th, to be frank about it.
It is scary, but I am sometimes an optimist. And I want to say that, you know, I believe that on November 9th, we'll see that America is better than that. And that these people that we see screaming these things are a very small minority. These numbers that I'm talking about these record turnout,
right,
you know, it's all over the country like this, right? Mm-hmm. And what that is I believe people who have said, you know, I don't vote. You know, they said 50% of the Latino voters that voted in early voting, absentee voting in Florida were first timers.
Yeah.
Because I think people said, oh, wait a minute, I don't usually vote. Right.
But
because I don't think this relates to me, but I'm going to vote now. And I think Nixon talked about that silent majority. Right. And it's mm-hmm. funny that I would use Nixon in this one. But I believe there is a silent majority of people who think that what Donald Trump is talking about, what he stands for, the thing that Dwight just talked about, they believe that that's not what needs to happen.
Right.
And they see this country the way that Barack sees this country, the way that Michelle talks about this country. And I believe, because I have that hope, I still believe in that hope that President Obama, when he was Senator Obama, talked about.
Right.
I still have it.
Yeah.
I never lost it. I have hope in this country. I have hope in the people in this country, whether it be black, white, brown, whatever. I believe America's a great place, and there's a reason why it is a great place. I have a shirt that says, America's already great.
Great, right.
Right?
Stevie Wonder wrote a song.
Because it is. Because it is. And I believe it will be proven on November 9th.
Yes.
Right, that's the day after.
Right, the day after.
And I think, speaking of one of your guests, he had an amazing turnout at his event, the block party over there on 18th Avenue.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. It's really showing what the country could be.
The perfect segue over to our friend Broadway in the building. How are you, sir?
Blessed and highly favored.
Yes, indeed you are. You most definitely are. So welcome. I'm glad to have you in the building.
Jill, I really appreciate this, and I'm quite sure all the people that turned out today to actually win and voted with me today, I really, really want to give them a great shout out, because, you know, I've always been told teamwork will always make any dream work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Martin Luther King had a dream, and as we are working together, I'm seeing the dream actually come together. You know what I'm saying? It's a pleasure and it's a blessing to be amongst these good quality people, Senator Bullard. Cynthia Stafford came by. I mean, it was an amazing turnout. That people that normally don't go and vote.
Right.
Because they say, well, the church people don't want you in their car acting like this or being that way here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but, the AKAs came out, you know what I'm saying? They represented, they actually took people to the polls for me, you know what I'm saying? It's just like the good old days. The real good old days. I don't know about good old days that Trump's talking about.
Right,
because
we don't know what...
The real good old days today.
What part of history that he is referring to in terms of the good old days. So for those of you who don't have the African-American history calendar, and Broadway was not in your house all year, share with them a little bit. I mean, because Broadway, you're like a celebrity in this town. Eat his whole face. You are.
You got me stuck with that one, that chill.
Okay. No, but it's true.
You know what I'm saying? What all of us should be doing, you know what I'm saying, is constantly working together to make it better for everybody else. It's not about color. It's not about gender. It's about doing the right thing. And I do believe that I continue to try to do the right thing. We all win.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked earlier about that sort of, like, Broadway is that dude, you know, that A, never met a stranger, and B, has a friend in every room. Mm-hmm. You know, he goes, right, and right. I think that's how, and that is how you can be effective when you can walk in any community, you know, and not be, and not feel like a stranger, and not feel that you won't be welcome there. And I think that so many times, like, we lead with, you know, it coming into a situation because I love them to death, but I think that they, you know, I know that our guests before the Green Party, they're so used to defending their position and their reason for being that they kind of come, you know.
Yeah, they came with their fists clenched.
Right, and that's because they're expecting, you know, that they're going to get.
Right, and what I told them was, you know, we agree. I don't disagree with
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Yeah,
I'm not your problem.
Right. Right. You say right. I am definitely not the problem. So, but now you have started the Broadway Arts District. So for those who don't know about it, share a little bit about what you're doing down in the city.
Well, the Broadway Art District was put together, you know what I'm saying, with Marvin Weeks, one of the world famous artists, I feel he is, and he said, I want to help you change the community. And I said, how you going to do that? I've been buying up everything I could buy, you know what I'm saying, putting the right people in positions to bring change. He said, no, we're going to use the canvas, you know what I'm saying, so we could let everybody put their two cents in. And as we start working, each time we painted a different mural, like we started with Luther Campbell. He beat the Supreme Court. The kids walked by. They said, oh, I know that person. Then we went on the other end where the older people were, and we put James Brown, Betty Wright, people that everybody could relate to that actually came from Miami, so they could look back and say, oh, I know who that is, and feel good about themselves. Because too many times, kids have to walk past terrible spots before they get to school and their mind is already messed up. I was blessed to be able to work at North Miami Beach Senior High School. Well, before you get to the school, it's four banks, one on each corner. But the kids in my neighborhood where I grew up at, it ain't going down like that.
May have not even seen about it.
They have not even seen one. So, you know, I've taken the pleasure of taking kids to football games, baseball games, you know, anything I could do to enlighten them, because I don't know who's going to come up with the answer for cancer.
Right.
So if I keep getting them out there, that's what. Mm-hmm. One of them will invent something that's going to make my life better.
Right.
So you put something in now and get a hold out later.
Right. Have you seen the movie Moonlight yet?
No, I have not.
Have you all seen it yet?
I haven't. Did you?
Okay, y'all got to go see Moonlight. You saw it? Yeah. Weren't you there? Was it? No, we weren't. No, we weren't. Okay. C. Vernon Martin is here with us. But he didn't get a chance to see the movie. I just thought it was such a gripping portrayal of Miami. You should see it. It's really.
So, I mean, I've seen the previews and read up on it. Uh-huh. And so I know we had the discussion about this last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to be provocative in the sense that.
It's after midnight.
Do you think black men are ready to see
that? No.
To see that. Mm-mm. Already to see
no,
sort of relationship.
But,
you know.
Yeah, well, you don't. The one thing about it is that in the, you know, in the most graphic sense, you don't really see it. There's a point. But I think that you know, for those, there are a lot of men in that space. There's a lot of men in that space. And for those that are on, that whole DL really was created by black men. I mean, you know, came out of the black community. Because there's so many men that are on the DL. And he will be, I'm not saying nobody in particular, but I'm saying he'll be hanging out at the football game with y'all, you know, and then he'll come hang out at the gay bar with me. And, you know, and
he was there with you?
Be all of himself. You know what I'm saying?
Owning it.
Right. You know, and so I think that, and in cinema and really in the gay community, you don't really get a chance to hear from that black man. His experience is so different, you know, than a white man can come out and be okay and, you know, but a brother that that you don't know, the drug dealer, and I mean, you know what I'm saying, or whoever that hard
Omar.
In the hood, he can't just come out and be
I'm gonna throw the conspiracy theory grenade out real quick.
Okay,
right? And so you saw the dismantling of Birth of a Nation in terms of the critique of Nate Parker and the whole nine yards.
Yeah,
what I've noticed with Moonlight, right, is great depiction, speaks to Miami, but it's kind of gotten captured by the art movement that's sort of saying it's a great movie. And so I guess my question is, do you think there is some sort of conspiracy in the sense that you had male bonding in Birth of a Nation, you had sort of this this notion of discovering your own masculinity,
right,
especially throughout the film, that totally gets disregarded because people don't see it and it gets sort of torn down before it can really get started.
Right.
On the flip side, you have this, everyone go see Moonlight. Everyone go see Moonlight, and the question becomes, like, both have very different but equally important messages about
black men.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's a very good point.
Man,
because
it's like Marla, it's racial.
Yeah.
It's racial. It's
right.
Racial. Why is the ball white?
But wait a minute. Why the ball got to be white, too?
Why the ball got to be white?
But
that's a real good point, though.
No, but it is it's a very good point, and it's a very good question. And I will tell you honestly, we had this conversation yesterday with my girls' group. We're talking about social media. And I will tell you that I would not be surprised if there was some kind of conspiracy when it came to Fox Searchlight. Let's just start with Fox bought that film.
Mm.
And $17 million is nothing to them. So that's a penny in the bucket to stop a narrative that you don't want out there. I mean, this movie, black men are killing white men. Okay? That just can't happen.
Right.
Okay? Under any circumstances. And because Nate Parker had done 20 films before this, and that rape case has been in his IMDb bio them whole 20 years. And it never became an issue until this film. So I think when the Weinstein, I think the biggest mistake he made is when the Weinstein company wanted to buy the film, and it was a lower bid of maybe $5 million, and he should have based his decision on the body of work that they had already done. And if you compare the Weinstein company's body of work to
the Mandela movie, and
Do you know what I'm saying? You had a level of sensitivity there, and he didn't. And I think he fell for the okey-doke.
You
know what I'm saying?
They
Right. And I think that Barry, Moonlight, it's just a timing thing. And it is kind of hard to see, you know, to go see it. I mean, for black men to go see it, I've had some of my DL brother friends go all the way to Palm Beach to ask to have nobody see them going in the theater. So, I mean, you know. But I just think in terms of the story, you know, when as Broadway was talking, in terms of, you know, this boy's life and how he grew up in the Pork and Beans and how that shaped who he, you know, turned out to be, I think that part of the story is really just important, you know, across the board. But you're right. Will they see it? Because, the main narrative is it's a movie about a gay boy.
Yeah, and one thing I don't want to get lost is Terrell McCraney's body of work as a playwright has been amazing.
Yeah.
Absolute genius from the... And that's what people really need to understand is he's a homegrown August Wilson type.
Dude, you know, right. From out of the Pork and Beans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Huh?
That's where I grew up at.
Yeah. So, well, a lot of good stuff came out the Pork and Beans.
A lot of stuff came out.
Oh, you had to introduce yourself. You just started talking.
My Broadway cousin.
Okay. Well, no, I know who you are, but they don't know who you
are. And anything go down, he always called me.
Oh, okay.
I took him under my wing when I was getting jobs to the Miami Herald and showed him the leadership of what's going on in Dade County. And the leadership came from my grandma, Mercy Garland.
Okay.
Told us about the politics, because she was a big lady.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things in this county right now is that I see everybody wants to be reelected But when they first be elected, they promise you something, but they don't live up to it. The field has been changed in this county.
Right.
Compared to what I was working with the county when I started in 1975, 41 years. I was under Stereham and Steve Clark.
Oh, so, my goodness.
Those were the good days. So now we are trying to find jobs, and when males them be want to be reelected, they don't live up to what they say. It's a total change. Mm-hmm. And when you got a strong mayor of Miami-Dade County, all our power is cut.
Mm-hmm.
But they entertain certain ones, but don't entertain ones who want to be in that dope to listen to what's going on. And the society of the day is gone because there's no jobs. And when he cut jobs for a budget, like, we had to go into our pockets to help the budget. And come to find out, he owed us some insurance money that he really don't want to pay.
So, him and ass?
Him and ass.
So I'm going to hold him out.
So this the problem with Dade County.
Well, the problem with this show right now is that we out of time. Is,
PBA had filed Tucker to court for two times, and the lawyer, the judge, them told him to give the money back, but somehow went to Tallahassee with Rick Scott done. Arbitration told it back, said he don't have to pay it. So my point is right now, in the way the department has downsized and the Department of Correction, it's a big problem. What done the problem? And when you go to the board to commission them for hearing and express yourself, they don't. Some of them don't seem like you're a troublemaker, but you're bringing a problem to them. But they cater to certain people.
Well, and on that note, we're going to put a pin in that conversation and follow it up after this election. Okay, so, you got to give me 2 minutes. Oscar?
Yes.
Dwight, what's the best we can hope for on the 8th and on the 9th?
Wins up and down the ballot, including yours truly, as well as a first woman president of the United States.
Amen. Oscar Brandon, Senator?
I believe some great things are going to happen. I think there are going to be some surprises, whether it be we win back the Senate, we win back Congress, whether me and Dwight are no longer in the minority, like in the strong super minority that we're in the state.
And now,
right? I think that's all. A lot of that's going to change, and that's what we're going to wake up to, which means we're going to be able to do a lot of them things that them young people were talking about.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about, because y'all had my vote all day long. I do appreciate everything you do and everything y'all been doing. And I thank y'all.
And the Garden of Recreation, the Anatomy of a Black Male, is happening in the Broadway Art District November 27th. Oh, maybe you'll come back through before. That's right after Thanksgiving. You'll be my Thanksgiving gift.
Vote Tuesday.
There you go.
Make sure you go vote Tuesday.
All right, people. Go vote. Make it happen. You know, let's all just pray and be in agreement that we want good things to happen to us on the 9th. Gotta go. Love you. Mean it. I am Jill Tracy. Love you, mean it.
Understand that's kind of late, and I gotta get home to my son, cause he's so special to me. I mean, I gotta see him, I need to breathe him. That's my baby, don't call me crazy. I love the studio, but I love him more. Let me give you what I got, so I woke up in the morning feeling fresh to death. I'm so blessed, yes, yes. I went to sleep stressed, woke up refreshed. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. Water in my face and everything is in its place. Peace of mind, even my grace. I'm so blessed. Yes, yes, yes. My grandma almost lived to see 92. I'm so blessed. Yes, 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 yes. My son was born healthy and beautiful. I'm so blessed. Yeah, yes. My mama's on my right side, daddy on my left. Yeah. My son, father doing his absolute. I'm so blessed, blessed, blessed. Yeah, yeah, yes. And I know what I know. And I know what I know. Trouble gon' happen, it's just the way it be.
ain't nothing coming easily in this life. Sometimes you gotta work and you gotta grow and it gotta hurt. I'm sure you know. Take a look around. Woke up this morning listening to this song. You're so blessed. Yes, yes. Gonna rock the show on all day long. You're so blessed. Yes. Still be up in here with our hands up in the air. Waving like we just don't care. We're so
Jill Tracy, always live, always local, always entertaining and educating South Florida. Heard every Sunday night from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. The views and opinions expressed on Hot Talk, guests and callers are not necessarily those of WHQT, Hot 105, or Cox Media Group. Our studios and offices are located at 2741 North 29th Avenue in Hollywood, Florida. Join us next week for more of Hot Talk on Hot 105.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 877-256-3483 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 877-256-3483 to take your call right now. Call 877-256-3483. That's 877-256-3483. Again, 877-256-3483.
What's up? This is New Edition.
And you're listening to WHQT Coral Gables. Yeah. Miami's Hot 105, a Cox Media station, baby.
That's right.
Everyone deserves access to eye care. Unfortunately, some cannot afford comprehensive eye exams that detect and prevent eye disease, disease that can lead to vision loss. The Florida Optometry Eye Health Fund is here to help. The fund promotes access to comprehensive eye care to help the less fortunate reach their full potential. If you know a child in need, urge them to contact Miami Lighthouse. Help them see a clearer future.
There's a natural resource that exists everywhere on the planet which could benefit all of civilization. Yet it's been largely ignored. That resource is women. In many of the world's poorest communities, women are denied a significant role. So often their talent and potential remain untapped. At CARE, we found in country after country that empowering women is one of the fastest ways to improve conditions and help end poverty. That's why CARE is helping provide girls and women with an education, opportunity, and a voice worldwide.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
I am powerful.
It's a source of power the world can no longer afford to overlook. She has the power to change her world. You have the power to help her do it. Call 1-800-521-CARE or visit care.org.
Hot 105.
Hot 105.
Yeah. 105.1.
105.1.